Well, for those of you tonight that do feel a little condemned, maybe there's some things you did this week that weren't too cool. The Lord Jesus here tonight, now, He's here to love you, like always. He's here to touch your heart and to stir you up. Those of you that have come in and that you're tired, you're weary, relax right now. Get ready and let the Lord touch you through His Word. It's His Word that we are opening tonight. It's not my words. It's not Calvary Chapel's words. It's Jesus' words. It's the Word of God. It's God breathed. And I want to encourage you to open your hearts and just receive. You know, like Dennis Jernigan says, when a little boy goes out and cuts himself and gets hurt, his father doesn't run up to him. As the little boy there is bleeding and he's crying, the father doesn't go, "Why did you do that? Why did you go out in the street when I told you not to go?" No, he simply receives his son in and cleans his wounds and wipes the tears from his eyes. For you see, the father loves him, though the boy was wrong, though the boy did things that wasn't right, though the boy was disobedient to his father, he loves him and he cleans him up. And that's how the Lord is tonight with us. You guys, God is real. He is real. And He's living in my heart, and He's living in your heart if you're a believer. And God is real, and He's here tonight. He's here tonight just to minister to you. He brought you here divinely just to speak to you because He loves you. No reason, not because you did something good this week, not because you prayed a long time this morning or last night, but because He loves you. Unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor that we don't deserve, we can't earn it, and He gave it to us freely. Think about it for a minute. That's basic, you say, yeah, and that's exactly where I want to stay. Right there in the arms of Jesus. And so as Jesus, we find in John chapter 4, was there in Samaria, as He went to the woman at the well, He had a divine appointment with her. It says He had to go through Samaria. He had to. I must go through Samaria. He had an appointment with one person, that woman, that He knew what would happen there. As she came to Him with sin so heavy, with adultery in her heart, with iniquity running through her, with a woman that wouldn't even speak with people. Therefore, she came at noon to the well that she didn't have to see the other women of the city. A woman that was so cast out, despised and rejected by people, she came and Jesus met her there. Though Jesus, it says, was weary from His journey. Weary and tired, He said, "Woman, if you drink of the water that I shall give to you, if you would drink in tonight of the Word of God, from your most inner being will gush torrents of living water." And the woman went on to talk about worship, and Jesus said, "You want to talk about worship? Let me tell you, the Father is seeking those who would worship Him in spirit and in truth." If you're here tonight and you would just be honest in your heart and say, "Oh Lord, I know I haven't worshiped You. Lord, I've come to You with iniquity running through my veins. God, I've come to You here heavy laden. And You've come tonight. And man, You know You aren't right." The Lord is right. And He's come divinely here tonight. Revelation chapter 3 tells me that He's in His church. Actually, chapter 2, it tells me that He's in His church, moving amongst His people, those who would say, "Lord Jesus, I hear You knocking on my heart. And Lord, I'll open the door. And come on in, Lord, and intimately dine with me." And as that woman opened her heart to the Lord, there was such a burning within her. She left her water pot there at the well, ran back to the city, and it says she talked and told the men all that He told her, which was everything about her life as Jesus sat there and shared with her, even her own heart, as the Word of God does to us so many times. The Word of God judges the thoughts and intents of our heart. And she just shared with people, and they saw such a radical change in her life. They saw that she tasted of the living water. And man, she wasn't thirsty no more to get attention from these men, but to just bring attention to one man, the man, Christ Jesus. And as she saw this, she was just blown away. She shared with them. They went out to the well, it says, and Jesus told his disciples, man, my food, because his disciples went to the city, they got food, they brought it back. Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. There's no time to eat. Lift up your eyes and look. Look at all these men coming out. They're investigating the salvation of this one adulterous woman. And they came out and they met the Lord personally. As maybe you came out once or twice. And you came out investigating the salvation of one of your friends. And you met the Lord Jesus personally. Or maybe tonight you've come here investigating one of your friends. One of your loved ones. One of those who has met the Lord Jesus. You've seen something. Maybe you don't like it too much. Maybe you're a little curious about it. Maybe you would kind of wondering what's going on, and you've come to see what the Lord Jesus has done in their hearts. Well, let me tell you, if you're one of those people tonight, the Lord, he loves you and he drew you out here divinely. And as Jesus was there with them, they urged him, it said, to stay with them 2 days. Jesus said, okay, I'll stay 2 days. They wanted to hang out with the Lord because they got touched by the Lord. They wanted to spend time with him as Jesus, I'm sure, just spent time, probably barely even slept. He spent time with them, discipling and sharing the things of the kingdom with them. And now, as Jesus is leaving revival, the Bible says there in John chapter 4, verse 3, it says, he departed from Judea and he was on his way to Galilee. And it says now he's arriving in Galilee. We're here at verse 43 and it says now after 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. Jesus is leaving revival behind, departing to go to his own city. And it says, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet had no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast. Now, he leaves revival. He leaves people that are urging him and begging him to stay with them, to disciple them, to share about the kingdom with them. They're excited about the things of the Lord, and that's the purpose that Jesus came to finish his work and to do his will, to share about the spiritual things of the Lord, to share about eternity and everlasting life. You guys, can you embrace eternity tonight and everlasting life? If you're a believer, you've received it. Do you know that you're going to heaven? You have everlasting life now and forever. It didn't start when you die. It started when you got saved. Everlasting life. You're never going to die. Death no longer has dominion over you. Death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, no, at the cross he said it was finished. Tonight, if you're a believer, realize you have everlasting life. And as Jesus was with these people that had that freshness about them, he says, I'm departing and I'm doing the will of God. Leaving a place of enjoyment and relaxation with people that just want to take in of the scriptures. People that just want to talk about the Lord. I'm now going to the country that will not receive me, for a prophet is without honor in his own country. It says there that he testified of these things. But then it goes on to say, so when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast. Now, this is quite confusing to some people. First of all, Jesus says, I have no honor. They don't receive me. A prophet is without honor in his own country. And then he says he came to his own country, which was Galilee, and they received him. Now, we could remember back there to John chapter 2, if you'd like to turn with me to John chapter 2, verse 23. This is that feast that they went to there in the latter part of the scripture we just read. It says, because they saw the signs he did, because they were at the feast also. They went up to the feast. And there in John chapter 2, verse 23, it says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed on his name when they saw the signs that he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men, and had no need that any man should testify of him, for he knew what was in man. Jesus knew what was in man, and as these men in Galilee, it says they received him. The word in the Greek is like to receive him as a teacher. They saw what he did. They were amazed in the signs and wonders he was performing. But we see there in the other part of the Gospels, and in Luke chapter 4, we see they received him in, and he came in there to the synagogue of Nazareth, and they gave him the scroll, and he read out of Isaiah the prophecy about him being the Messiah. He put the scroll away. He gave it back to the guy that was taking care of the scroll, and he looked across the crowd and says, the eyes, everybody's eyes were upon him. And he says, now today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Wow. He proclaimed to be the Messiah. And it says there again, they did not receive him as a prophet. And what did they do? They said, he's the carpenter. He's the carpenter's son. We know his mother, his brothers, his sisters are here with us. He's in his own country. Imagine being raised with Jesus, your next door neighbor. How about your brother? James, the one that wrote James. He was Jesus's brother. Imagine. Yeah, bro. Perfect brother. Perfect. Never sinned. Hey, you couldn't catch him in anything. You couldn't narc him off to your parents for nothing. He was perfect. And imagine it. These people knew who he was. Hey, he's the carpenter. He's the one from Nazareth. And he's here telling us now he's fulfilling Isaiah, the prophecy of the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He says, I'm going to bring liberty to those who are in bondage. I'm going to bring sight to the blind. I'm going to heal those who are brokenhearted. And these guys got so mad, it said, within, they took him to the bluff of the hill, and they're ready to cast him off. They're going to kill him. They did not receive him for Messiah, but they received him in the beginning for what he did. The signs and wonders that he performed. They says, how does this man get this wisdom? And it says, as they took him to the bluff of the hill, Jesus walked right through the midst of them and not one laid a hand on him. Just the sovereignty and the power of the living God as Jesus moved right through them. Though they wanted to kill him, God wouldn't allow them, for he had a work to finish. He had the cross to take. He had the sin of the world to bear. You see, we see that Jesus is deity in this. Jesus does nothing apart from the Father's will. We find it that they received him because of the signs. Nicodemus said it in verse 2 of chapter 3. We also find in chapter 6, verse 2 here of John, it says, therefore a great multitude followed him because they saw the signs which he performed on those who were diseased. See, they received him not like it says there in John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, as many as believed on his name. Oh no, this wasn't the same kind of receiving. The word in the Greek are two different words. That one there is receiving for salvation. This one here is receiving to see a nice sign done. They followed him because the signs that he performed. Jesus. If you guys, for you studiers of the scriptures, they're in Luke chapter 4 verses 16 through 30. They're in Mark chapter 6 verses 1 through 6. And they're in Matthew chapter 13 verses 53 through 58 are all those accounts that I just explained of Jesus Christ coming to his own country. Jesus taking control again. Christ, knowing the purpose that he was here for, as he moved out in power, came to his own country, knowing that he wouldn't be received. You see, he knew everything. He knew exactly what was going to happen to him. As he took control, as he left revival behind to go to a place where he knew men would come to him by false motives. But you see, Jesus had a purpose for going. One man. One child that he would care for and love. One person that the living God, the creator of all things, was concerned with. A nobleman. Verse 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now Jesus, he comes into Galilee. it says they received him, but we realize only for a time, until he didn't tickle their ears any longer, until he started laying out the truth. Then they rejected him. Until he started speaking the truth, they rejected him. But he came for a purpose. He came for that one man, that nobleman's son. Now this nobleman, a nobleman is born into the king's palace, meaning he's an official of the court of Herod. He's a high-ranking officer. He's like a sheriff today, or even higher than that. He's like a marshal, and he goes around and he checks out things. He's higher in rank than anything. He's right next to the king there, this nobleman, as he's there with power and wealth. He's very rich. Now, this nobleman had a sick son, and he cared so deeply for him. Now, he lived in Capernaum, which is about 20 miles there from Cana of Galilee, where Jesus is right now. And I don't know if the nobleman came to Galilee for the very purpose of finding Jesus because he heard Jesus was there, or he was in Cana of Galilee there doing business as his job as being an official. We don't know which one it was, but we know he was there. And it goes on and it says, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and to heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now we find his son is at the point of death. His son, this man is powerful. This man has authority. This man has money, but he has a son that's dying and he's at the point of death. He's sick. This sick word, sickness, is the same word that was used for Lazarus that was going to die and that did die. The same word used there for the woman in Acts, Dorcas, that died and Peter rose her from the dead. This sickness is unto death. The same word there used in James chapter 5 verse 14, that the sickness is unto death. There was no hope for him. When the man was utterly out of hope, sure, he got every doctor he could. He had a plenty of money. He got every opportunity that came by. Everybody that could help his son tried to help, and there was nobody that could help but one man from Galilee. One man that came for a purpose to heal his son. And he came and implored him. You see, this guy could have commanded Jesus, go heal my son. He had the authority. But no, he came humbly. He said to Jesus, and when he implored him to come and heal his son, for his son was at the point of death, Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Now that scripture kind of draws me back a little. What do you mean? I mean, the guy's coming. He's in desperation. His son is dying. And Jesus looks at him and says, unless you people see signs and wonders, in no way you'll believe. And notice the word you. If you have an old King Jimmy, you'll see that the word you, you'll see that the word you there is in the singular form. For those of you Christians that don't read King James, that's the old King James version, old King Jimmy. And it's in the plural form there. And we notice in the next scripture, it's going to be in the singular form. It says, unless you people, unless you, all of you people, all of these Galileans that did not receive him, unless all of you see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Jesus isn't pointing to the person, for we notice the translators put in the word people in italics. Unless all of you people, and when it's in high talks, as we talked about a few weeks ago, it's not in the actual Greek, but we find that they put it in for clarity of scripture, that we could understand that he wasn't talking just to the man, but in a sense, he was talking to the man, for he was talking to the whole entire multitude that was there. Those that received him, they saw the signs and wonders, they wanted to follow him, they wanted to see, they wanted to be somewhere where excitement was happening, but they had no interest in repentance. So many times we find today, right now, as I speak, in the church body today, we find this very thing happening. People will follow men all over to see signs and wonders. People are going everywhere to find signs and wonders, and when they're happening, the multitudes are there, but we are not seeing revival as they're talking about. We're seeing emotionalism. We're seeing people going after signs and wonders and not after the living Lord. not after walking in holiness and obedience and walking by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave His life for me. Not people concerned about others and sharing the gospel, but people concerned about getting touched for themselves. And the same thing was happening then, and it's happened throughout all the church age, because it hits the emotion of persons. The emotion of me, I love emotions and excitement. All of us do. And sometimes we can let our emotions drive us and not the Word of God. That's why any of you guys that are caught up in any of this, or know anybody that's caught up in this emotionalism, this laughter movement that's running through the church, this barking and roaring like lion thing, and signs and wonders that are said to be done, show me the scriptures. Show me where it is in the scriptures. That's all that matters. My emotions can do anything. They trick me all the time. Have you ever fallen in love with a girl that you aren't in love with now? Have you girls ever had a crush on a guy that you don't like now? In fact, you look at him and go, wow, how could I have ever liked that guy? Your emotions go up and down, but the living Lord is firm, solid. He has a foundation that cannot be moved. He is solid. That's why the Word of God must be our focus. And Jesus looks at these people and says, you people seek a sign and a wonder. And He says in other parts of the scriptures there in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 and 39, Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4, Mark 8, 11 through 12, He tells them the only sign that they're going to get is the sign of Jonah. As Jonah went in the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will go in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. As He said there in John chapter 2, back there when He cleansed the temple, Jesus said, the only sign you'll see is the resurrection of the living Lord. That will be a sign that will seal man's salvation. If you're seeking a sign, you need to seek repentance for salvation in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because the blood was shed. That's the only sign you're going to see. And as Jesus looked at this man was into materialism. He was thinking Jesus must come down. Look what He says in verse 49. The nobleman said to Him, sir, come down before my child dies. I don't care about signs and wonders you're talking about here. He didn't deny He didn't want to see a sign. Of course He did. He wanted His child healed. He didn't deny that. But He said, regardless of the point, my son is dying. Come down. I need you. I need you to heal him. You've got to be there. You've got to lay your hands on him. I've heard that you've laid hands on the sick and they've been healed. Come down and heal my son. And you can see the agony in this man's voice and the desperation that he has for his son that is dying. That is at the point of death, it says. He's got no hope, but he puts his hope in the Lord. Now the Lord does not minister to the need that He thinks He has. Oh, He deals with what He needs. He heals His son, but He doesn't do it in the way the man thinks he needs to. You see, so many times I think the Lord should move in a certain way. Oh Lord, and I start praying away. Okay, God, if you would do this and this and this, then we'll see this. And maybe that ultimate thing I'm praying for is the will of God. But I'm telling God how to do it. I'm telling Jesus, I'm giving Him my wisdom. Lord, you need a little wisdom on this now. Now, this is the way we should go about it. And if you would listen to me and just follow these 5 steps that I have laid out, everything will be fine. And the Lord goes about it in such a different way. You see, I was praying with all my heart. Oh, God. God, do revival in my heart. And I could honestly tell you guys that God has done revival in my heart. But I didn't tell Him to break my leg to do it. You see? But that's the way the Lord chose to do it. You see, I sprained my ankle and He put me on my back. At the point of time, church is about to start. There's no time to lay on your bed. There's no time to have my foot in the air with ice on it. God, what? I've got this to do. We got signs, codes for the signs. I've got to make up flyers and bulletins. I've got to get the children's ministry together. What about the stage we're building, Lord? Well, the sound equipment and God, I need to get the workers together and we got to get a work day. And my mind is just going and going and going. And my heart is full of anxiety and I'm worrying and worrying. And the Lord says, okay, you're praying that I'm going to do revival in your heart. Now lay there and let me talk to you. Because you won't lay down. You won't sit at my feet. You'll run around and think you're going to take care of it. I'll do it my way, Lord. Oh, now you can't do nothing. What are you going to do? So what do? You got to just give up at that point. And just say, okay, God, I'm smitten to your will. This is the way you're going to do it because I'm a mule. You got to put a bit in my mouth to sit me down. Okay. And the Lord, as I just opened his word, as I just spent time with him, what else was I going to do? Cry? He so restored my soul. I know that's what you're supposed to do. But no, as I actually did it. And you don't need to have a broken leg to seek the Lord. But sometimes God's got to break our legs to get us to seek him. And he does it because he loves me. Because he cares so deeply. And look what Jesus said to the man. The man wanted Jesus to come down. Go, help, come to my house. Jesus said to him, go your way. Your son lives, my friend. Your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and he went his way. That's it. The man had a desire and had a plan for the Lord, and the Lord said no to his plan, but I'll take care of the ultimate plan. Go your way. Your son lives. Look what the man did. Verse 50. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went his way. That's it. You guys, all we need to do is believe the Lord. His word. Does his word today dwell and burn in your hearts? You can't believe it unless it does. All we need is faith in the Lord Jesus. You guys, faith is so important. This man had deep faith. Look at this man's faith. Verse 51, and as he went, now going down, his servants met him and said to him, sir, your son lives. Then he inquired. He had no doubts about it, no doubt at all. Then he inquired of the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. He was inquiring, interested in how it happened. Not if it happened, how it happened. And he found out immediately it left him. It left him immediately. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed and his whole household. Notice something though. The seventh hour. The seventh hour is 1 o'clock p.m. Now, it says, as his servants came, it said, yesterday at the seventh hour when the Lord spoke to me, yesterday at the seventh hour, your son was healed, the servant said. Notice that. He waited a day. Now, the walk from Capernaum to Canaan of Galilee was probably 3 to 4 hours. Now, you know, this man in his heart was very anxious to see if his son was healed. But he had such faith that he probably went along doing the business that was set before him, spent the night there in Canaan of Galilee, and moved on the next day. And his servants found him then. That's faith. That's just saying, Lord, you said it. Now I believe your word. That's it. I will believe and trust in you because you said it and what you say goes. You guys, today we need faith deeply. The church has no faith. Jesus says, will I find any faith when the Son of Man comes back to the earth? Will I find any faith? Does anybody truly believe in Jesus? Does anybody truly believe in the Son of God who loved them and died for them? You guys, we've got the whole revelation of God's word. Genesis to Revelation. The whole thing. I look back and I find Noah, a righteous man who obeyed the commandments of God. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it says he was divinely warned. that God was going to flood the world. Now, it never rained one time, ever. Never. Flood the world. Never saw rain flying out of the sky. And Noah, by faith, built an ark. By faith, his whole family was saved. Noah, by faith in what God had promised, he was able to perform. Though he did see nothing, he saw no rain ever fall from the sky. He saw no sign of a rainstorm. You tell him a rainstorm, he don't even know what it is. So if I explain to you something you've never seen, you've never laid your eyes on, your ears have never heard about it, you're like, well, I have no idea what that is. When the Lord starts explaining spiritual things, that's how we are. Well, the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And Noah, by faith, was saved. By faith in what he didn't see, but the Lord spoke. As the Lord spoke. Abraham. Abraham, the Lord spoke to him. Genesis chapter 12. Get out of here. Go, and I'm going to show you a land that I've prepared for you. Abraham didn't see the land, had no idea. He just went because what? The Lord spoke. Abraham, offer up your son Isaac on the altar. Man, God, you promised me because I believed there too by your word that you spoke to me. I believed in the word, and you promised me that through Isaac my descendants shall be. Man, if you kill Isaac, Lord, you got to raise him from the dead. And that's exactly what Hebrews chapter 11 says. It says Abraham believed God that he was even able to raise Isaac from the dead. That he went in obedience. Okay, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't see any logic in it. But you said it. That settles it. And I'm going to do it. And he moved out with power. He went up that mountain and he had the knife out. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. It says, Abraham did not waver at the promises of God, but he was strengthened through faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced in his own mind that God was able to perform what he had promised. Has the Lord promised anything to us through his complete revelation? You guys, we need just to believe in Jesus. Just to believe in Jesus. There at the wall of Jericho, there's Joshua. There's the army. Man, these guys are warriors. And the Lord says, march around the city. One time for 6 days. Blow your trumpets. This is ludicrous to a warrior, an army. You gotta be crazy to get all these people to march. They look at Joshua like he's crazy. What? People won't understand me, Lord. I don't understand it, Lord. I have no answer for them. What am I going to do, Lord? Walk by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. Oh, he did it. And by faith, the walls fell, it says in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith. He just walked with God by faith. Hey, they didn't have the blood of Jesus. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within them. They didn't have access into the holiest of all by a new and living covenant. They didn't come in any time they wanted and just start praying. Talking to the loving Lord that died for them and is living on high and is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for them in their weaknesses, helping them to pray with everything. He's for them and he's justified them and nothing can separate them and all things are working together for the good and there's no condemnation. They didn't have this kind of relationship. And they walked by faith. Moses. Moses was spoken to by the Lord and he just went out in faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Moses. There he took the children of Israel through the Red Sea by faith, it says. Come on. Stretch out my staff over the ocean. The armies are behind him. The people are yelling at him. Look at you, just come to kill us in the wilderness. And he said, okay, Lord. It's ludicrous. What's your staff gonna do? Get a sea. The Red Sea's out there. And by faith in the heart of Moses, that sea parted and they walked through on dry land and those Egyptians followed them through. And as soon as that last Israelite was through, boom, and those Egyptians were wiped out. And the Lord wiped out a whole army that they could never wipe out by his power, by natural things, by the sea. by faith. You guys, we need faith. Hebrews chapter 11 goes on about all these things, continuing to talk about it. It says if time I would have to talk about Samson, and it just keeps going on, and David and all these men, Samuel and the prophets, they all subdued kingdoms. It says they were killed and they would not be delivered because there was a more excellent promise for them, because they walked by faith in the Son of God. You say to me today, Trent, well, hey, I would love to have that faith, but I just don't have it. What we need is one thing, the Word of God. See, their faith didn't come by just anything. Oh, I believe this will happen, so I'm going to do it. Their faith, every one of them, came by the Word of God. God spoke. Faith comes by hearing Romans 11:17 and hearing by the Word of God. Today, I was studying and looking over this passage throughout the week, and today I come to it, and the Lord says, Trent, it's just about faith. And I said, Lord, I'm weak in faith. I don't believe you like I used to. And he said, Trent, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I just opened the Word of God, and I just opened it and just started reading, not studying for anything. I just started praying and meditating over the Scriptures and reading, and I all of a sudden had the deepest faith in my heart. I said, you're living, Lord. And I just started worshiping Him, and I couldn't contain myself any longer, because the Word of God brought faith to my soul. And the more you're in the Word, not just reading through the Word as a duty, but in the Word ready to receive from your loving Lord what He has prepared for you from the foundations of the world, the grace that He is bringing to your heart. You're in there meditating on the Word of God day and night. You shall be like a tree planted firmly by the rivers of water, that shall bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall never wither. And in everything you do for the Lord, it says it shall prosper. It shall bear fruit for His glory. Everything you do as you're in His Word, what? Meditating on His Word, looking on it, praying it. It's not just a reading of the Scriptures. It's a heart that says, you're living, God. I'm weak. I'm wimpy. I'm that foolish thing you've talked about in Corinthians chapter 1. In my weakness, your strength is made perfect. So God, I don't got nothing to offer you. Here I am. And opening the Word and saying, as James would say, not just a hearer of the Word, but a doer. One that says, hearing the Word of God brings faith as I start doing it. Now, faith only happens after we apply the Word in our hearts. Mark chapter 16, verse 20, the last scripture. Let me read it to you guys. The last scripture in Mark. Jesus just says, go therefore into all the world and make disciples, and these signs will follow you. And it says, as they went out and preached wherever the Lord worked with them and confirmed the Word through the accompanying of signs. What did He do with signs? He confirmed the Word. After the Word went forth, after people saw the Word in their lives living, when somebody sees the Word of God in your heart living, man, then signs happen. What sign did Jesus say He'll give a perverse and wicked generation? No sign shall be given to you but the resurrection. What's the resurrection bring? For I've been crucified with Christ. It brings salvation. That's what it brings. What sign do we need to be looking for today? As you preach the Word, as you're a doer of the Word, as your faith is in the Word of God, your soul will be so stirred. Those around you will see it, and you'll see signs and wonders happening. You'll see miracles being changed. You see, all signs and wonders will end. All. If today my foot was healed, I ran down the sanctuary here, one day I'll die. My foot will be in the grave. If we have somebody here tonight with cancer, they come forward, we pray for them, they're healed, they're going to die. We're all dying. Every one of you are going to die. Every one of us are dying, you guys. Not a one in this room is going to live for eternity in the body that they're in. they're going to die. No matter what sign will be performed upon you in your life, it will perish when you die. But one sign won't, and that's the sign of salvation. That's being born again from within. That's being born again, being saved. That is everlasting life. Now, you guys, Jesus says, I come to give you life and that life more abundantly. If we believe in the Lord, we should not only have life in eternity, but more abundant life now, here, on the earth, with people. You guys, what is it? If you put faith in the Word of God, hey, I don't care what people say. I don't care, God. I don't care what they say. You said my son's healed. He's living. Fine, I'm going about my business. I just believe in the Word and go on my way. And I'm a child by faith. And I love the Lord. And you know what? So what? What are they going to say? What matters? Eternity awaits. You'll be so radically on fire for the Lord Jesus if we would just put our simple faith in Him, and our faith comes from Him as we read His divine Word. You see, the Bible says all Scripture has been God-breathed. Turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. What will the Word of God do in my heart? What will it do in your life and in my life? This is what it will do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture has been given by inspiration of God. And in the Greek, that is, all Scripture has been God-breathed, God-spoken. All Scripture has been God-spoken and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What is the Word of God going to do to your heart and your life? Because who breathed it on the page? It's not the ink in the book we're talking about. What did Jesus say? Or what did Paul, or whoever wrote Hebrews, say there in chapter 4, verse 12? The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword. What is it? The Word of God today is live. It's not dead on the page. It's not ink that I read, look upon. It's not phonics that I'm bringing forth into my mind. I can barely read, and the Word of God just takes my soul and moves me. The Word of God, it's living. It's a life more abundantly as you just believe it. It's powerful. It's cutting. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's piercing. It's piercing. It's dividing things. It can divide soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It's judging the thoughts and intents of my heart. It's saying, no, you're wrong here. No, go here. It's leading me and guiding me through this life as I just believe in it. I don't care what people say. I care what God says. And when you're a man or a woman like that, you're going to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, there's a problem. It's called apathy. It's called carnality, and it's permeating the church today. Some people tonight that should be here, they're lovers of the Lord. They're down at Sinanopolis right now. They're here or they're there. They're at home watching some movie. They're doing something else. They have left the fellowship. And it's not just this one, the whole church, wherever they go, whoever they are. You guys, what is it? What is holding you back from knowing the Word of God? It's called laziness. We're just lazy. We don't want to read the Word. There's spiritual warfare involved, for the devil knows when you touch that Word and you get it in you, and you're not just a reader of the Scriptures, but a doer, you are powerful. You guys, I'm telling you tonight, some of you, maybe you need to just throw your TVs out the window. Just throw them away. It's not legalism, it's freedom. Those things are holding you down. Whatever it is, maybe there's some of you guys here need to tell your girlfriend, hey, I got a date with the Lord Jesus tonight. I'm His bride, and I'm going to spend time with Him. You see, those are the people that know the Lord. Not legalism. Oh, I can't watch TV. Oh, my, I can't see that. Oh, I can't hear that. No. But freedom to walk with God. What is it? It's His Word. I'll tell you time and time again. It's His word in saying, Lord, I love you. God, I'm weak. Man, when you're in His word, you're going to know its nature. You're going to know its grace. You're just reading through the scriptures and taking in of them. And when you come to Him and you're convicted, oh Lord, cause me to be a doer. Lord, help me. And your spirit from within is so stirred. And faith is increasing all the more in your heart. And you're walking in the power of the living God. And what is stopping you today from knowing that God? From knowing His word? For when somebody comes to you and asks you a question of the scriptures, you don't even know how to find the book that it's in. And that's not for condemnation. But man, that's for motivation. Be motivated tonight to study to show yourself approved unto God. Because it's going to change your life. Hey, I don't read the Bible that I can teach. I don't study the scriptures that I can give somebody an answer. I study the scriptures that I can know my dad. That I can know the living God who rose from the dead and who ascended onto high. You believe Him for your salvation. How about today? For all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. All the promises of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, I believe. It's in chapter 1. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus, those of you that are in Christ Jesus, every promise in the Word of God is yes and amen, so be it. It's for you. For the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. It's for you. Not just Jeremiah. It's for you. It says there in Romans chapter 4, after Abraham said that he didn't waver at the promise of God, it goes on and says, and all this is written not for Abraham alone, but also for us. It's for you. Take up the scriptures. Be students of the word. Where is our life? Ask yourself this question tonight. Where is your time being spent? Where is it? Where is your time being spent? Is it being spent in eternity? You see, when I'm in the Word like this and my faith is increasing in my heart ever more, pressing on, I'm seeing things that I've never seen because the Spirit is revealing them to me. I'm dependent on the Holy Spirit. I'm saying, God, I need You. I need Your help and I need You to guide me and lead me. When I'm like this, man, the joy of the Lord is gushing out of me. My faith is so strong. I'm ready. God says, go. And I just go on my way like that nobleman. And He says, your son lives. And He says, he believed the words that Jesus spoke and he went on his way. Are we going on our way? Just, oh yeah, the Lord's got it. Not dumb. The Lord's going to take care of it. I don't have to do nothing. I can just sit around. But knowing what I'm talking about, knowing the will of God for my life, it's in His word. And it's all for me and you to feast on. It's not a duty and a regulation. This man had faith that his son was healed. Therefore, he didn't even go on his 3-hour journey, but finished his work. He believed the words of Jesus so much. And then he went home the next day. Imagine that kind of faith. And all of us can have it. And it's just spending time with the Lord. That's all it is. It's just doing what He says. Let's close with Proverbs chapter 3. If you guys would turn there real fast with me. Proverbs chapter 3. The key to knowing God intimately and deeply. So simple. We make it so hard. It is so simple. So freeing. Verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you, but bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Just don't forget His word. Bind it around your neck. Man, write it on your heart. Not a intellectual knowledge, but a heart passion for His word. It's in your heart. You're not going to forget it. You're binding mercy and truth around you. When you're reading the scriptures, do you read the scriptures in the mindset of condemnation or in the mindset of mercy and truth? He loves me. You read the scriptures and convicted. Do you get condemned or do you read them in the mindset of mercy and truth? Bind it around your neck. It means in the Hebrew to mend it and to sew it around your neck. Mercy and truth. And the neck in the Proverbs is the sign of a man's will. For the ox, as the yoke was on him, his neck would move, and that would be where he would go. As you bind the Word of God on your neck, write it on your heart, you're saying, I submit my will to the Word of God, and then I will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and in man. How do you think Jesus found high esteem in the sight of the common people? Not the religious, but the common, the sinners, the tax collectors, those who needed to be born again. He was full of mercy, truth. He was full of grace and truth. John said it. Chapter 1, verse 14. He goes on and says, here's the key. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Simple. I make it so hard. You go, that's not simple, Trent. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You said it. That settles it. I believe it. It's your word. What am I going to argue with you, God? You're the creator. You heal a man 20 miles away. You don't even talk to him. You don't lay your hands on him. You just think it. Boom. Healed. That's the power of the Lord. That's the power of Jesus that walked on the earth. Hey, you spoke the worlds into creation. How do we know the worlds were framed? Because the Word of God. God spoke the worlds into existence. Why? The Word of God. He said it. This is powerful. This isn't just a textbook. It's the Word of God. And as I trust in the Lord with all of my heart, every part of my heart surrendered to the Lord, trusting in Him. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. And I'm leaning what? Not on my own understanding. As I lean on those crutches today, and I put all my weight into them, every bit. If those crutches just folded under, I'd be on my face. That's the leaning, not on your own understanding, but leaning on the Lord's Word. Just putting all your weight into it. It's either all God or total collapse. It means if God would fail you, you would collapse. That's how much you're leaning into Him. But He won't fail you. You won't collapse. You'll collapse when you lean on your own understanding. Leaning on the Lord with all my heart, not to my own understanding. In all, every way of my life, acknowledging Him, acknowledging He is, and He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He's God. It is impossible to please God without faith. You must believe that He is. He is God. He is. He is who He says He is. And as I believe that, I believe He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. For when I believe that, man, I diligently seek Him. And of course He rewards me because He is. He is the rewarder. He is God. He is the living Lord. And how easy it is to lean on a God like that. It's simple. But I don't want to believe it. Because that means I've got to let go. I've got to give up. I can't do what that means. That means I can't even lean on my own understanding. That means I can't do anything. That means I'm totally worthless. Apart from Christ, I can't do it. That means, no, there's no good found in me. Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what it means. And I acknowledge Him in all my ways, and He does what? He directs my path. He moves me and throws me wherever He wants, for the love of Christ is controlling me. It's just moving me. Go here. You're led and driven by the love of God. And man, you are going to be led into some places that are heavy. You're going to be led, you guys, into some radical experiences. And I promise you, you'll see signs and wonders. I've seen them. You will see signs and wonders as you're led by the Lord. But don't be seeking no sign and wonder. Be seeking the Lord. Oh, you'll see where He is, they are. Where He is living, where He is working, man, there is victory. There is radical things happening. Where the Lord is, you know it. The world knows it. Something's going on. They don't know who's behind it. they sometimes think it's you. Oh, you're just so good. I'm so glad you cleaned up your life. I'm so proud of you. They have no idea. You're just sitting there going, man, if you knew, I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace towards me was not in vain. For I labor more abundantly than them all, not I, but his grace. His unmerited favor, for I can't do a thing. And you look at them and just, what are you going to say? Praise God. And they say, yeah, it's real good. I'm so glad you're cleaning up your life. Praise God. Yeah, they don't even know what that means. Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? What I've spoken tonight, has it grabbed your soul and moved you? Not emotionally, but radically, spiritually, you've realized that your faith has grown dull. That your eyes have gone dry, as Keith Green would say in his song. That, man, your faith is weak. And you need the Lord. I'll tell you, it's not a come forward thing. It's not a let me pray for you thing. Those we can do. It's a get with the Lord, get in his word, and believe in Jesus. You guys, today, you need intimacy. What is it in your life? What is it that is hindering you and holding you back from knowing your King? And I know I'm going over a little, but this is so important. It is so important. Listen, please. For those of you that are seekers of God, man, I don't care how many times you've failed in the past. I don't care. How many times you've blown it. I'm telling you, if you would believe in Jesus, man, he's got victory for you today. No question about it. He has got fire that he wants to burn in your soul. I don't care if you used to be on fire and you are no longer today. He's got revival waiting for you, but you must go God's way. You must come on his terms. You cannot make up my own way. This is how I'm going to be on fire and do it. You must humble yourself before the Lord. You must come and submit to his word. You must walk in his ways. When you have sinned, when you have fallen, you must come to him freely. Not condemned. You've got to come to him in a freedom that he loves you. You got to believe Jesus loves you today. You don't believe he loves you. If you believe the Lord loved you, man, what radical life you would have within you. There's no condemnation. You just got to believe it. Okay. I don't understand. I know it, that it's practically not true. I'm a jerk. Lord, I fail you and fail you. And you say there's no condemnation. God, help me. And just say, Lord, I don't deserve it. And that's grace. And that's when you'll experience grace. Not theologically, but practically in your heart. You'll know and understand God and his ways. You guys, you've got to spend time with the Lord if you want to know him. You say, I don't have faith, I've tried, and you'll get me all your reasons. And I'll ask you two questions. Truly ask yourself, have I been meditating in his word? And have I been praying? And I guarantee that you can have to say, no, I haven't. If you're honest. If I'm honest, no. I haven't given God my time. And that's why after Hebrews chapter 11, continues, and it just goes off on all these guys. You could look at Hebrews chapter 12, and it says, therefore, laying aside every sin and weight that so easily entangles us, let us run with endurance. What? Therefore, because they did it, because they had victory, because God is faithful, if you believe in his word, therefore, if you want to know the living God who started your salvation is going to finish it, therefore, lay it aside. It's not worth it. And run looking to Jesus, and it said, because we have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, as they did. As the Old Testament saints did. They resisted all the way to death. What are they doing? Striving against sin. Today, we need to strive against sin. You need the power of the word. You need the sword of the spirit. You need God. You need his word living and dwelling in you. You guys, I guarantee it. You will feel like you just got born again if you start doing this. I've watched people that have been in the church longer than I've been living. And I've watched them just apply their hearts simply like children to the word of God. And I've watched them look like they just got born again. And I'm telling you, it's real. I've experienced it. I know many here today have experienced it. Let go and let them in. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and grace. God, though I went long, Father, your grace, Lord, is so good. God, I pray you would touch my brothers and sisters, though they may be tired, Father, and weary. God, just burn this in our hearts tonight. We need, Lord, to walk with you. We need to give up, Lord, and let you in. Father, faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. Lord, we know there's a war out there. That's why you tell us, Lord, to put your word in our heart. And God, we just thank you and worship you. And Father, we pray now that your spirit would stir us to obey you and to walk with you intimately. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.